Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. A lot of football talk on tonight's program. We'll preview this weekend's district playoff games and some NFL talk coming down the pike on tonight's program. So let's get straight to our introductions. Of course, from the RCN Sports Department, we have football analyst Mr. John Breidinger and the senior sports writer at The Morning Call and the co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Edward Grohler. Gentlemen, it's football playoff time.
I see a Christmas tree. I'm distracted here.
They're getting ready for the holiday season around the corner.
My Sirius XM channels are already playing some Christmas music, and I had to get
away
from it. I said, my wife, it's too early. Yes, exactly. You know what I'm talking about. I said, my wife, it's too early. And then they come here, and we get the Christmas spirit going. I guess it's good.
You're not supposed to be seeing that. That's for down the road.
I know that, but I see it. Can't ignore it.
Eric, could you stand over a little bit to block the Christmas tree? Just so Keith doesn't get in the holiday spirit prematurely.
We got a big turkey here for Thanksgiving and then the Christmas tree. So we're all set for the holiday season, right? We're on our way.
See what abuse I get behind the scenes here, Mr. Bright. I see him on the weekends and he says, oh, you're the big guy there and you get all this grief. And
I always introduce him as my boss. That's the boss.
Yeah.
Whatever he does.
He's my boss. He's my boss for this 1 hour a week here.
Every time you say this, I get pecked down a little bit. Can we talk some football here?
Absolutely. Let's talk some football.
All right.
Absolutely.
We're going to get to the playoffs in just a second, but I want to get your thoughts on the regular season. I thought it was an entertaining year. All the EPC games I saw, except for maybe one or two, were very competitive. In the Colonial League, John, we had our share of blowouts in the Colonial League, but I really enjoyed some of the teams we saw and seeing and talking with the players and coaches from Palisades and Saucon Valley. And another one that I always love going to see, and I'm disappointed by the news this week, Paul Verduzzi stepped down. Penn-Argel, maybe the two of their best games this year were on RCN TV.
That's exactly right.
So I want to get Keith and John your thoughts on the regular season overall.
Well, I think, again, we had some great games to watch. It's always fun to go to Colonial League games. Number one, they appreciate you covering them, that their kids get the chance to be on TV and get some exposure that way. But the Colonial League, in my opinion, the teams are always smaller, and coaches really have to be creative. Mm-hmm. A perfect example of that is Saucon Valley. Saucon Valley takes an all-league receiver, he's their best athlete, he's quarterback. Somehow he becomes quarterback, and by the third game, this kid looks like he's played quarterback for a while, and he's a great athlete. But also, so many kids go both ways in the Colonial League that you feel for them out there. You want them to succeed.
Because Alston Wolf's also the punter and the kick returner and punt
returner. Yeah, and sells hot dogs in the stand. So, I mean, but that's fun for us in the Colonial League, as well as some of our East Penn games. We saw some great games. We saw Nazareth a couple of times. And I thought they played well against Bethlehem Catholic. I thought, of course, you had the Easton game. I was there as a spectator and being heckled by my so-called fans there at Easton. But that was another good game to watch. A lot of fun to watch. We've had a nice year. And one of the neat things for the players and the coaches this year, and they all commented on it, was how nice the weather's been.
Yes, it was.
They've been
very good.
A great weather season for football for the coaches and basically the players and obviously for us because we didn't have to wear our windsuits and all that good stuff.
And you can wear your RCN shirt.
Wear my short sleeve shirts.
Well, look, he's got the right color on. To me, the color this season, at least to this point, purple. I mean, purple for the Palisades Pirates.
Absolutely.
Good point. You have to understand that. I've been at the Morning Call for 35 years and really haven't done a lot of Colonial League in that, a game here, game there. But I really got to embrace the Colonial League this year. No, I wasn't there every week, as you always pointed out when I would.
Don't
still
forget about the Colonial League. That's all I said.
Yeah, you would remind
Make sure you feature
me. But
guys,
I did get this year, see my share, and I thought it was kind of neat Friday night at Bucks County, Kintnersville, PA, small town, USA. Yep. You had Palisades finishing off a 10-0 championship season in one venue, a couple counties away up in Lehigh. And I know that, we don't really cover the, I don't cover them that much. You guys don't cover them that much. But it was kind of neat that a couple counties away, Lehigh and Indian, same atmosphere, same packed house, same type of community where everybody knows everybody growing up. And the Indians also completed a 10-0 season. And then in the middle, of course, you got Parkland, which standard fare, another great season for the Trojans, and I'm sure that they're going to be playing a while yet. So you had these different teams from different backgrounds, and I like to, you know, I like that small town feel, which it I got is. More in the Colonial
yeah.
League.
And it's fun to see the success of Palisades. That's probably the best Palisades team in their history of
right.
playing football.
Right.
And Brian Gilbert had some great teams. He turned yeah. that program around down there. But Kevin Ronalds had the right mix the last 2 years. Last mm-hmm. year, that team was competitive as youngsters.
Right.
And this year, with that being played together and that much more confidence and good line play by Palisades, and just one of those, it's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch that success. And, of course, Lee Heighton, you're right, we don't see him a lot, but...
We may see him coming up here.
Yeah, we might, but Lee Heighton, yeah. they're always tough.
Yeah.
They came down 1 year and beat Easton in a playoff, and they just have a history of tough kids.
Now, I will say this, John, as much as we're talking about some of these smaller town schools, they both have EPC backgrounds. Remember, Tommy McCarroll mm-hmm. Coached, I believe, for like one or two seasons with Tony Trisciani at Whitehall. Of course, Kevin Ronalds coached for many, many years at Allen. Mm-hmm. Good friends with Brian Gilbert.
Yep.
And so there is an EPC flavor there in both programs. But I was happy to see both of those small-town schools win and maybe change perceptions about them. And the neat thing, when I interviewed those Palisades kids, I interviewed Ethan Brader, their quarterback, and Jared Colletti, their star running back. And he says, well, you know, we've been together for years. We knew this was coming in 7th and 8th grade, middle school football. And it's neat that they actually stayed together. You know, we have a lot of movement going on around the Valley nowadays. I'm glad that they chose to stay at their given schools. Now, Palisades did pick up the Rakowski kid from CB West, but I'm glad that, by and large, they stayed at their schools and built a winner.
It is fun to see that and that camaraderie. And again, I go back to the old school where you played both ways, and if they took you off the kickoff team, you wanted to fight the coach, you know, and that's how these guys are, and that's fun for me. But I really like, with you, I like the success for Kevin Ronalds. He's seen some goods and bads, but the guy brings a lot to the table as a coach. The guy coached at Yale.
How
can he help his kids get recruited to play? I mean, he knows the whole thing, so it is fun. But on the other hand, East Penn Conference is always entertaining, and some tremendous athletes we got to see this year between Jahan Dotson and Des Boykin and the Whitehall
quarterback
effort this year, the Whitehall quarterback
Ethan Parvell.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way that kid handled the ball in his first year as a starting quarterback, I mean, the guy was, you know, he's terrific to watch. And so it's always fun. And
a lot of sophomores, too, making an impact in skill position.
Yeah, and so these kids are getting to play, and they're getting great experience. And we talked about it on the air a number of times. We can't wait now till next year because these kids are going to be bigger, stronger, more confident. And one we overlook a little bit, but tremendous player. Last year's a sophomore, now this year's a junior, Nasir Legree. From Liberty, the kid's a terrific running back. But for me, to watch the development of and watch Des Boykin go from like 160-pound sophomore to this big, strong, 195-pound wideout who still can run, and they get him in the offense at Whitehall, I think has been fun to watch from my perspective. So I look forward to the whole playoff situation, which we'll probably discuss later.
We'll talk about it right now. We'll take a look at the final District 11 standings and talk about potential matchups both this week and then possibly down the road involving different teams. So let's start with the 6A bracket. Of course, the final results, Parkland, the undisputed number one team. They were our preseason favorite. So they run the table, go 10-0. They're the number one seed and will host a playoff game against Liberty. Hurricanes with a big win to close out the regular season against Freedom to get into that final playoff spot with a 4-6 record. Stroudsburg will host Pocono Mountain West, also at 6-4, Stroudsburg at 8-2. Emmaus, who lost to Freedom earlier this year, will host Freedom on Friday night. That'll be our live game on RCN. And then the game you saw last week on RCN TV on tape delay will also be on tape delay on Friday night. Easton, who lost to Nazareth, but the game will be at Cottingham as the Rovers host the Blue Eagles. Nazareth has really been on a roll to close out the regular season. Keith and John, your thoughts on the 6A matchups going into this
weekend?
Well,
first of all, they're all rematches, which I don't necessarily like. I like when we see people that haven't played each other meet for the first time. But, you know, Parkland is the team to beat. There's no doubt about it. I know Liberty.
Liberty has given Parkland trouble over the years.
Yeah,
which
and I'm sure Tim Motzman didn't want to see his former school coming to Orfield on Friday night. They're dangerous. Legree makes them dangerous. They have some talented athletes. But, you know, can the team that won the first matchup, and look at the Nazareth, it's got to go back.
Yep.
You know, what, imagine those Blue Eagles,
that's
right?
Tough. Well,
Andy Weaver country. They're sky high.
Yep.
They never had won against it, right? Cottingham. Did I hear that correctly?
Never won at Cottingham.
They
win. True.
They've only beaten them four times.
We're leaving Cottingham with a big win over the Red Rovers. Yep. Oh my goodness, we got to go back. Imagine their feeling. I don't like that situation. It is what it is, and I'm sure they're going to give it a great effort. But I think, you know, the edge probably goes to the team that didn't win in some of these games, and certainly Easton. I think now that they're going to make those corrections, and the advantage goes. And they, by the way, they get the home game again.
Yeah,
so
and I agree with
and
you.
And I can't. I you know, it's going to be unfathomable to me to see the Easton Red Rovers lose to Nazareth two consecutive weeks. You know, I just can't, at home, I can't see it.
Well, I think, I agree with you, and I think that Nazareth has done very well with a very young team. They start a lot of sophomores. They got great play from their sophomores, like the Wilson kid who plays offensive tackle and defensive end. They got some excellent response out of him. And then, of course, Jahan Dotson. But Easton, first of all, it's hard to beat a team twice in one season when it's close. When there are blowouts,
it's
a little different thing. It gets in a kid's head, you know. In my semi-retirement, I substitute teach at the Career Institute of Technology. I've said it before, and I plug them. It's our vocational school in eastern Northampton County, and I run into some of these kids, and I ran into a Nazareth kid today, and I said, "So, what do you think?" He said, "Well, what am I supposed to think? We come off of this big thing, and you know, just what you said, and what's going to happen?" I said, "Well, they're going to make adjustments that they should have made during the game to win the game, but they didn't." I said, "So, Easton's going to be ready. The key in that game is going to be the creativity of Tom Falzone at Nazareth and his staff."
I've seen him four of the last 5 weeks, and every time there's a different formation.
There's some different formations each game. There's some trick play. There's a way to get the ball in Dotson's hands. And on top of that, he has bright kids up there. They catch on quickly. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, you can get stuff in a week as opposed to some places where maybe or some other whatever levels you can't do that. So that's going to be a key thing. And it's going to the other Nazareth kids are going to have to step up because Easton will not make the mistake they made in the first half last week. They will double Jahan Dotson. So that means Zach Kiefer has to pick it up. That means Nazareth has to get the ball to their really good tight end. Viva is a really good tight end and a good defensive player. But that's going to be the key in that game. But I suspect that all week at Easton, they were practicing snaps to the quarterback while the quarterback actually watches the ball come into his hands, as opposed to what we saw the other day. And they were going to be on top. They were going to be more aggressive in the line play. And it's going to, but again, anything can happen. Where I have a problem with, just like you, these rematches. Mm-hmm. Somebody blows somebody out.
Yep.
And now we're going to go through this again. But the way this thing is structured with all these levels. I mean, what choice have?
It is what it is. I mean,
and it drives you crazy.
And I just wrote, coming over before I came over here, I wrote about this unfortunate situation in five. I know I'm jumping the gun here, and I apologize, but I wrote about this unfortunate situation in 5A where you have a 0-10 football team playing, and people don't understand it. And I guess, you know, people weren't paying attention last year because I think East Stroudsburg North had a couple wins, so they thought, well, they earned their way in. No, they were in before they even played one down of football, even heard the first whistle of official practice. No, that's the way it is. I talked to Bob Hartman, I talked to Jason Zimmerman today, I talked to David Castillo. He says, David is the first-year coach of the Timberwolves, replacing Chuck Daly. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. They're the only coach they had before this year.
He says, look,
we didn't make the rules. They said we could play a game. We're going to play a game. Mm-hmm. I'm a new coach. We got new systems we're installing. If they say we could play a game, I'm not going to forfeit the game. I'm not going to, you know. And District 11 say, well, either we could have a bye and put Whitehall right in the final, or we could make them get on the field. Here's the thing about it. People are claiming that it's a money grab. It's not a money grab. Do you realize when you turn on the lights at a football stadium, the meter starts running. Mm-hmm. You turn on the scoreboard, there's the meter starts running. Yep. You pay the officials, expensive bill to be given to the officials. Pay the chain gang, pay the timer, pay the PA, pay the ticket seller. They're going to lose money at Whitehall. They're going to lose money at a variety of venues because the people aren't going to be fooled, John. That game is not going to draw more than 500 people on Friday. I'll be shocked if it did.
That's a good point. On the other hand, I think if you have the best record in that segment, you earn the bye. I think that to be designated,
in essence,
that
it really
in,
is, John. Let's face it; it really is. They're not; those starters aren't going to play more than a couple.
Well,
quarters.
Hopefully
but
not.
But what if someone gets hurt, though? That's my concern.
Exactly. That would be
my
concern.
You got to get them off the field. You got to get them off the. You got to be wise. Do what you have to do and get that game over with. You can't fool around.
You're right.
You can't fool around.
You're right.
But look. Nobody likes this. I'm. You know. Nobody likes this. District 11 doesn't like it. They. You know. Hopefully, it's going to change. Yeah. But they're not going to. They're not going to say to the PIAA, say, "Oh, geez, we don't need those spots." Because one year, next year, there could be a situation where you're going to have six teams vying for four spots. It just works out the way it does.
Well,
and Bob Hartman says it's a generation. I get it. I understand. And I don't like it either. I mean, there are people, including some people who used to work for this network or cable company, that used to say, you got to win your league to get in the districts. And you got to win old school thinking. And it's a different world now. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Go ahead.
Well, we got to take a break. We'll continue this conversation. We'll talk about 5A, 4A, 3A, and 2A coming up right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, our special high school football preview edition as high school football postseason starts tomorrow night. Again, our live game will be Emmaus and Freedom, and then Easton and Nazareth will be on tape delay. On Saturday, we will have the Central Catholic versus Saucon Valley game live at 6 o'clock. John Breidinger from the RCN Sports Department, our special guest, joining Keith Groller and myself with some NFL talk coming up in just a little bit. Before I forget, by the way, last week we mentioned some tough news in the Craig family. I talked to Joe Craig last night. His daughter was down in Philly yesterday, ran through a whole bunch of tests. All of them came back negative, so the tumor they found was completely benign.
Spectacular.
So great. Some great news for the Craig family. His daughter's going to be okay, and
that's
then hopefully
terrific.
Joe can move on and take care of his health issues, too. So thanks to all the people who passed along some great wishes. Joe wanted me to make sure we thanked everyone out there for passing along the comments to us that we passed along to Joe or for people that contacted Joe directly. Let's move on and talk about the 5A and the 4A standings. 5A, you've touched on. It's been set in stone since before the season started, as we all know. Whitehall hosting East Stroudsburg North and Southern Lehigh hosting East Stroudsburg South. In the 4A competition, which is much more competitive, you have Becca taking on Pottsville. The Tide are down a little bit. Some years, you know, they might give a team from the Lehigh Valley a battle. I think the Hawks would win this game easily. And then Central Catholic taking on Southern Lehigh. John, I think that's going to be a great game we're going to have on Saturday night. But your thoughts on the 5A and 4A matchups?
Well, again, 5A, I have a real problem with 0-10. And that's no disrespect to East Stroudsburg North or any of that, but two things. Number one, a compromise would be 500 record, minimum 500 record, or you're not in. And if they don't have enough teams with that record, then the number one seed gets a bye. We talked a little bit off air about what does a bye do. At this point of the season, at the end of the season, I got some of these kids, they're dragging here.
Yeah.
You know, they're dragging. Whitehall's team, we had them. They played seven guys both ways. 5A.
And a bye is not unheard of. There are other cities and other districts around here that have byes.
And you just pointed out, you said Archbishop Wood will have a bye, and they'll play the winner of this game or one of these, you know. Yeah. So they'll have a bye the rest up. So believe me, kids, in my opinion, watching my son go through it, having gone through it a little bit myself, by the end of the season, a lot of them, they've had it. So give them a bye, give them a chance to rejuvenate a little bit. To me, 500 should make it work like that. It's a compromise.
Yeah, well, I agree with
it's
you.
It's a compromise.
I agree.
As opposed to...
And to go back to Keith's point, if you're losing money by playing some of these games, then have the bye. That way you don't have to spend the money on the stadium for the lights
money
and so forth.
Or be accused of.
I think they're going to look at everything. I really believe this is only year number two, and we never have had. Now, you could. It's the 0-10 that gets people. Not that East Stroudsburg North was any better at 3-7 last year.
Exactly.
They had a kid named Melchiori who made some plays,
and he did.
I think they beat Nazareth or somebody like that last year, or Northampton. I can't remember.
Yep.
But they're going to look at it, and hopefully the landscape will be much different, and maybe some 6A's will come back to 5, or some 4A's will bump up. I don't think that 4A's. On paper, it's very attractive, and the game you want to see is the one that you guys are covering, the game I'm going to see at Muhlenberg College on Saturday night. I think, but I do believe that Beck is a clear cut. This is not like last year where Central could rise up and knock them off at least once. Yeah. Beck is far superior if they get everybody back. Now, I'm not sure what their health situation's like, but I think this is Beck's bracket to lose. I think they're far and away better than Pottsville, and I think they're vastly better than either Saucon Valley or Allentown Central Catholic. 5A, I'm waiting. We've been hearing about John Tolman wants that respect. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about the Spartans. They're there every year. They have nice records. Mm-hmm. It's time to put a District 11 banner up. Yeah. Is this the year they do it? Whitehall's not that, and Whitehall's a good football team, mm-hmm. but they lost three games.
Yep. And Whitehall also, Whitehall's a scoring machine, but Whitehall has a little trouble
yes.
with defense.
And Southern Lehigh, Southern's got some weapons.
They have
they
some
got
weapons.
Strauss. They, have some they have Edmund. They got Price. Mm-hmm. They got Derby.
Yep.
They can make
That's
plays. So this is, to me, and I'm not going to overlook South completely because South has got some good playmakers. Mm-hmm. And the young man who took over, Walters, who spent a year at Northampton on mm-hmm. the staff there.
Yep.
He basically ran the show until Eddie Christian got back about week four. Mm-hmm. I thought he really invigorated the mm-hmm. system there a little bit. If Eddie lets him run that offense, and I think he does, I think South's going to make some plays. I don't think 42-7's in the offing like it was last year. I do think Southern Lehigh wins, and we have Southern Lehigh Whitehall. And I'm telling you, it's time. It's time for the Spartans to rise up and win a game like this.
Yeah, and they got to rise to the level of the competition, and that would be that level. But I got to say, I agree. You know, 4A with Bethlehem Catholic, if they can be healthy, they have a lot of speed on that team. They're tough to contend with. A very competitive game, I think, is going to be our Saucon Valley Central
Catholic
game.
That's the one. That's the one game.
But on the other hand, I just don't think when everything's right, Bethlehem Catholic should be able to overcome either of those teams. As you go further down the list, then it gets a little more interesting. And we want to talk about 3A yet?
We can bring those standings up on the screen, look at the final standings. It was a great year, as we mentioned at the outset of the show, Palisades with an undefeated season. Lee Heighton, Eric's team on camera three, he's literally jumping up and down as we speak that we're talking about the Indians after a big win last week in front of a packed crowd up at their place last week. Jim Thorpe is the number three seed with a 9-1 record. North Schuylkill, the number four seed, and then Notre Dame at 8-2. Tamaqua, Salisbury, and Wilson, Falcons, and the Warriors under 500, but they do qualify this year. And so Wilson plays at Palisades. Salisbury goes to undefeated Lee Heighton, and then Jim Thorpe and Tamaqua square off. And Notre Dame, I think when you look at all the lower brackets, I would have to say Notre Dame is probably the best of the lower bracketed teams all across District 11.
And only won seven. They start at 1-2. They've won seven straight. They got the best quarterback, in my opinion. I haven't seen a lot of that. You guys have seen a lot of Nazareth. I heard that Harris guy. I saw him once early in the season. I know he's phenomenal. Yeah. But I can't believe he's better than Cole DeFranco. And by the way, Cole DeFranco was a Nazareth boy, as the Weaver family continually points out to me. So anyway, whatever that means, mm-hmm. but he's got 2,900 yards. I think the kid is accurate as I've ever seen anybody. He's got a strong arm. He's savvy. He's poised. You knock him down, he's going to get back up. I think they're the dangerous team. If there's a five seed that's going to win, it's absolutely positively Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. That bracket, by the way, is chock full of good teams. And then on Wilson and Salisbury, okay. 4-6. Nice comeback years for both of them, mm-hmm. though.
Yep.
Wilson goes from 0 wins to 4. Mm-hmm. Salisbury doubles its 2-8 record last year. But it could be very interesting. You're going to have rematches, Chris. You're going to mm-hmm. have week one, you have a rematch of a Hail Mary game, which ended with Jim Thorpe getting a big completion on the last play of the game to beat Tamaqua. So you have that rematch. Then you could have a rematch of that battle of the unbeatens, Lee Heighton and Jim Thorpe in the semis. And also, you could have Palisades and Notre Dame rematch. Those semis should be incredible. Mm-hmm. And then who's ever left there, we think it probably could be Palisades and Lee Heighton. But don't discount Phil Stanball and those Crusaders, because North Schuylkill is a good football team. Yeah, the blue collar, mm-hmm. we always start talking Schuylkill League mm-hmm. with the phrase blue collar kids. Mm-hmm. They're tough. They're mean. They're going to hit you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they've seen an offense like Notre Dame's going to put on that field on Friday night or Saturday night.
Well, they saw it last year. We had the game, and I'll tell you what, they got a real rude awakening when they came down mm-hmm. Notre Dame last year, Chris. Mm-hmm. We were there, and I'm with you. Phil Stanball is very creative on offense. They do things at Notre Dame. Let's remember, these are kids. So if you do something a little interesting, a little exciting, a little off the wall, they get psyched up for that. Kids like that. hooking ladders and stuff like that. Anything that's different, they get wound up for that at most ages, all the way to college. And so Phil's good at that. I think Palisades just this year has every tool in the shed, mm-hmm. all locked up. Mm-hmm. They got the two offsetting running backs. You can't key on one guy. They got a kid that plays defense named McGrath, makes plays all over the field. They got an offensive line that is experienced. Even with juniors, they're experienced. This is their time this time. However, Lee Heighton likes Northern Schuylkill. Lee Heighton will always hit you. Mm-hmm. They've come down the Easton in years past, beating them in playoff mm-hmm. games. So Lee Heighton's tough. And then Jim Thorpe has a couple of really good athletes, as they always do in every sport. Jim Thorpe just has some kids that can run and can play. So you got to watch Jim Thorpe as well. So that, to me, the 3A is really tough.
Yeah, that's the best.
And then
bracket.
Who wins that yep. is really going to be a great
I
thing
agree.
To watch.
The interesting thing, John, I had that game week one. Way back in like August 25th or whatever it was, okay? Mm-hmm. And Palisades, I worked the silent because the TV people, as usual, had preference.
It wasn't me. I wasn't there.
I know you weren't there. And took up the spot. So it's fine. It was a beautiful night. Why
See,
not?
I get blamed for everything.
Why not walk those sidelines? Oh, let the TV people be nice and cozy up there. Okay.
That's a sure thing.
But look at John. Yeah, I know. I know. You're a TV guy now. All right. But listen to me. Palisades dominated that line of scrimmage for football's for 45 minutes. But guess what? Notre Dame has the ability to win. They hung in there. They hung in there, and they made a couple plays, and they were one throw. If they had 30 more seconds on that clock, mm-hmm. they would have won that game. Yep. And they had no business being in that game mm-hmm. if you go by who dominated the line. Palisades overpowered them all night long but couldn't sustain a couple drives. They got the lead. And I'm telling you, that game should have never came down to what it did, but it did because Notre Dame has extraordinary playmaking ability and a phenomenal quarterback. And as long as you have that, you're never out of a
game.
You're never out of a game.
All right, newspaper guy, what's the prediction here? We need a prediction before we move on here. 3A, who's going to win it? Palisades, Notre Dame, Lee Heighton?
I'm going to still go, oh boy. You know what? I love Palisades, but I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Send a copy to Kevin Reynolds of that.
Yeah,
John,
please.
Who do you like?
I'm going with Palisades.
You're
going to They've
go
been
Palisades.
Consistent all year, and you're right about the Notre Dame game, but one thing they did do, even if they didn't score on those drives, kept that offense
it's
off
true.
The field.
They did
and
a good job.
That's a key thing
that's right.
when you play Notre
that's
Dame.
That's right.
Because of all the factors you said, but if you keep that offense off the field, then they're forced to make a big play, and the odds get slimmer.
See, newspaper guys are enamored with quarterbacks. And I'm enamored with Coyle DeFranco.
Hey, he's a good player.
You know,
he's
2,900 yards.
He's a good player, and he got bigger and stronger.
But I think it's a shame. I'll say this, John. I think it's a shame. I think those are no disrespect to the cameraman from Lee Heighton, because I love Tommy McCarroll.
He's a great guy.
I think Tommy McCarroll should get a job in APC to show how really good he is, because I think he's really good. I think it's a shame that if it comes down, it's going to come down to that. Palisades will play Notre Dame in the semifinal and not the championship game. I think Lee Heighton, is very good, mm-hmm. but I think those are the two best teams.
And then what's going to happen, just to finish the thought, is whoever's healthiest by the end.
Yep.
Because these guys, again, both ways, who's ever healthiest, then has the advantage at
the
end.
You know, Notre Dame will have to go through an eight. If Notre Dame does win this, I don't want to hear, this and that. Because they will have beaten an 8-2 North Schuylkill team at their place. They'll have to beat probably a 10-0 Palisades or 11-0 Palisades team at their field, mm-hmm. and then have to probably play mm-hmm. a 10-0 Lee Heighton team on a neutral field. They will have earned their goal if they get it this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to touch on 2A coming up in just a little bit, plus some final high school thoughts from John and Keith coming up. John McMullen, NFL insider, will be joining us in just a few minutes. But right now, it's Keith's favorite part of the show. Although he's taken several shots at me and I was tempted to just skip this part of the show, it is time for Growler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about things infinitely more interesting than John Feinstein does in his segments. Keith?
I don't know about that buildup, but look, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I'm not just talking about that Christmas tree that's all set. Hey, if you're a Philadelphia sports fan and Chris is one of those typical homers with no creativity, he loves his Phillies, he loves his Eagles, he loves his Sixers.
Since when?
Don't you like those teams?
No.
You talk about them enough.
That's Zion over there. He's on the camera.
Well, anyway, look at hope springs eternal.
Keep putting the Christmas tree, don't you?
Hope springs eternal. I don't know nothing about Gabe Kapler. Maybe you could chime in on Gabe Kapler. I don't know. But look at the Sixers are winning games and are beating good teams. I think they're for real. I think the process, it took a long time. I think the process might work. The Eagles look as good as anybody in the NFC. The Flyers are not going to be bad. They're going to make the playoffs this year. And like I said, there's a lot of good things. Good things happen for those who wait, even Chris Michael. And good things are happening. So be excited. The Houston Astros ended the baseball season. Next year, your fighting Phils could be the Houston Astros.
Next week, Keith Grohl is going to be replaced by a tree. John McMullen talking NFL football right after this timeout.
That tree right there.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, along with John Breidinger, Keith Grohler. I'm Chris Michael, and joining us on the phone line, national NFL columnist and contributor, John McMullen. John, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. You see his work everywhere, FanGraphs Sports and on different radio stations in our viewing area. John, first of all, big trade this week for the Philadelphia Eagles we wanted to ask you about. And there was all this speculation early in the week that they're probably going to try to improve the offensive line or maybe try to get someone to help out in the back half of the defense. And then they go out and bring in a running back, giving up a fourth-round draft pick. Your thoughts on the big trade by the Eagles this week? And were you as surprised as some of the Eagles fan base was this week when they pulled off that deal?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised about adding a running back. I thought that was sort of the under-the-radar move I'd written about before because the Eagles were concerned more so about that Darren Sproles role of a third-down back and could catch the ball out of the backfield. And even more importantly than that, pass protect effectively. So I wasn't surprised they added a running back. I was surprised it was Jay Ajayi, and obviously you're talking about a 1,300-yard back from the year prior that made the Pro Bowl, 200-yard games. And obviously from a risk-reward standpoint, it's a home run. You have to see if he fits in chemistry-wise, but from a talent perspective, he's the best running back the Eagles got. So I think Howie Roseman's always looking to improve this team. He probably would have liked to bolster the offensive line. But as he spoke in his press conference, you know, left tackles don't grow on trees. You can't go out and pick one. So it's not as easy to get one of those as some people might speculate.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the offensive line because coming into the year, I thought that was going to be a question mark, and they proved me wrong for the first 2 months of the season. They really seem to be playing well, and then, of course, Jason Peters goes down with an injury. So now they're back to a bit of a question mark. They looked okay, I think, in my opinion, last week against San Francisco. But how do you think they're going to hold up long term? And obviously, they're not going to probably make a move now to try to solidify that one tackle position. But can they hold up? Because now the bar has been raised, and you're looking at potentially a deep run in the playoffs for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, we're midway through the season, so I think it's fair to say this is one of the NFL's best teams. They're 7-1. It's the NFL's best record, and you got to go by sort of Bill Parcells rules, and your record is what you say you are. But there's concerns. There's injuries all over this league, and it starts with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Deshaun Watson goes down today in Houston. So in a lot of ways, the NFL is a war of attrition, and the Eagles are no different than anybody else. They have certain significant injuries, and it starts with Jason Peters at left tackle. I think Halapulavati-Vaitai held up very, very well against San Francisco, especially in pass protection. And I think that's what everyone's concerned about. Sure. He's a better pass protector than a run blocker. And I think he's more natural on the left side because he played there in college than the right side, which is what happened last season. He struggled to try and replace Lane Johnson, but he got progressively better. Obviously they're not going to be as good as they were when Jason Peters is out there. There's no excuses. It's a next man up mentality. That's what the Eagles have preached since day one. To this point, they've handled most of their injuries rather well. But this is a big test. This is a much different defense than San Francisco with the Denver Broncos. It's the best defense in the NFL. Von Miller traditionally, more often than not, lines up on the other side of the formation. But talk to Vance Joseph this week. They will move them around a little bit and try to take advantage of certain matchups, is what he said. You know what that means. They're going to let him have take a few shots at Vitae, and we'll see how it works out. But the Eagles are in better position than most teams, so that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, and they're also in the NFC East, where the Giants have been dreadful, the Redskins mediocre, and the Cowboys have had their issues, including now the Elliott suspension. Once again, looks like he's going to miss, I think, at least one of the Eagles' games. Your thoughts on this NFC East? I don't see anybody challenging the Eagles the rest of the way here unless the Eagles really fall back to the pack. What are your thoughts on the East?
Well, you're right. I mean, you can forget about the New York Giants. Obviously, they're not going to be relevant this season. And from an Eagles perspective, you can forget about the Washington Redskins because they've already swept the season series. So it really comes down to the Dallas Cowboys, and they still have a heartbeat. And not only because of they're playing okay, not great, but they're staying in the hunt. But they also have two games left on the schedule with the Eagles. So if they're able to handle their business against Philadelphia, they can get back into this race for the NFC East very, very quickly. But as you mentioned, we'll see. Ezekiel Elliott still has some legal maneuvers to make. You never say never. Ultimately, he's going to serve the suspension. It's just a matter of when. And we'll see if it starts this week or not. But the Cowboys are still talented offensively. And one of the things that they've been able to do is become a more well-rounded offense. I think the Eagles are more quarterback-centric than the Cowboys are. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that has to do with Zeke, and he's not going to be out there. But they have some depth with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden. Still have a very good offensive line, and they have a very good quarterback.
You know, Ron, in Philadelphia, we can't help but get overly excited. I mean, and of course, many times ultimately disappointed. But right now, a lot of excitement with this football team. We're thinking about winning that East, thinking about a run in the playoffs. Who out there? Now, the Saints have won a couple games in a row. The Seahawks at least got their offense going. They gave up a lot of points to Houston, but they certainly scored a lot. The Rams, I'm not really a total buyer in the Rams yet. What are your thoughts on who's out there that we could see maybe coming into Philadelphia in the month of January for playoff games?
Well, I think on paper the toughest matchup would be Seattle. They're battle tested. They understand what it takes to be successful in the playoffs in this league. Number one, they were able to get the guy maybe the Eagles really wanted, and that's Duane Brown, the left tackle. But they gave up a lot to get him, and that was the main weakness on their team, the offensive line. So they improved. And obviously the Eagles will visit there in December. You got to be very, very careful because the last thing you want to do is go to Seattle to play a road playoff game. So it's very important that you stay at the top of the NFC standings, that you get a bye, and that you make sure the road to Minneapolis goes through Philadelphia. I think that's number one. But Seattle would be the top team to be concerned about. And then on any given Sunday, I don't agree with your assessment of the Rams for the reason why they have a tremendous defense. Aaron Donald, I think, is the best interior defensive lineman in football. So they can beat you on the defensive side of the ball. Same thing with Minnesota. Their defense is so good that even though the Eagles look like a better football team, you could see one particular game going sideways in that kind of matchup.
You know, Carson Wentz was just named NFC Offensive Player of the Month. A lot of great things have been said about him, and he's deserved it all. I've been a big fan of him since they signed him last year. But now you're looking at the Eagles are not just a playoff team. The potential is that they're going to go deeper in the playoffs. Do you think when the national spotlight goes on him and there's more pressure, do you see any chinks in the armor or anything he would need to work on the next couple months in preparation of, hopefully for Eagles fans, a deep playoff run and maybe even an appearance in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl?
Well, not from that perspective. I mean, that's the one thing I never question about Carson is the stage isn't too big for him. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. It's a little bit weird that such a young player isn't affected by some of the outside kinds of things. And I often talk about, you know, we're at the NovaCare complex every day. The Philadelphia Eagles have the largest media contingency in the NFL that follows them around on a daily basis. And it's bigger than New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. And there's a tremendous amount of just scrutiny on everything everybody does on this team, the head coach, the quarterback, and Carson has just it hasn't affected him at all. So from that standpoint, I don't think you have to worry about that. Now, from a football perspective, I think if you look at his rookie season, what happened was he got a little banged up in the second half of the season. Some of his mechanics started to falter a little bit, and he had a rough stretch of football. He's still, you know, there's a lot of good with his ability, and it's mostly good with his ability to extend plays, which he does as well as anyone not named Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. But there is some bad to that as well, and part of it is he's susceptible to taking hits. You've seen that this season. You hate to say the word injury, but as we saw with Deshaun Watson today, can happen at any time. And then the second part, as I mentioned, even if you're not hurt, you could be banged up. And if you're banged up and you're maybe sort of trying to make up for a knee hurting, an ankle hurting, a shoulder hurting, some of those mechanics can break down and your play can suffer. So that's the bigger concern to me.
John, I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means, but the whole Ezekiel Elliott, he was suspended, he wasn't suspended, then he went to court and it was upheld, and then, you know, kept going back and forth. It was just mismanaged. Obviously, the NFL has a lot of issues right now at the head end. How do you think the Cowboys can bounce back from the suspension when Elliott does come back? Can they be any kind of factor in the postseason? And what was your thoughts on the way that whole thing went down as far as, you know, he's on, he's off, and have it go
well,
back?
Well, it's still not over, as I said, and that's the thing. But I think a lot of people don't understand once it gets into the court system. It's really not about whether Roger Goodell is right or wrong. It's not about the actual suspension. It becomes about a procedural matter in the NFL's power under the collective bargaining agreement. And essentially, Roger Goodell has the power to suspend him. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, they're going to win the court case. It was always a matter of timing. And from that standpoint, it becomes a strategy for Ezekiel Elliott. Do you try to fend it off as long as possible and play the entire season, and you probably get suspended for the first six games of the 2018 campaign? Or do you realize, hey, I'm 22 years old, let's get it over with? Well, they made their decision, and they tried to fend it off as long as possible. You can argue the merits of that. From the Cowboys' perspective, obviously they're not as good without him. He's arguably the best player. He's one of the two or three best running backs in football. But as we just mentioned with injuries, everybody in this league goes through losing players. And whether it's Jason Peters and Jordan Hicks in Philadelphia, I mentioned Rodgers, I mentioned Watson, you talk about J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus along with Deshaun Watson in Houston, Odell Beckham in New York. There's a host of players out. For various reasons. And the Cowboys just have to look at it like that. They're not going to have him for 6 weeks when he is ultimately suspended. And we'll see if Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden can hold up. I will say they have more depth at running back than most teams, so they're better equipped to handle it than just about anybody else.
John, before we let you go, some very interesting matchups this weekend on Sunday. Eagles, of course, taking on the Broncos in an early game. You mentioned the Rams. They're taking on the Giants. Redskins are out in Seattle. And the Cowboys are up against Andy Reid's old team, the Chiefs. Any predictions you'd like to make, Eagles or otherwise, in the NFC East for this weekend?
Well, I think the Eagles are going to go to 8-1. I think if you look at what's going on in Denver, they're going to make the quarterback change this week and go to Brock Osweiler, which is obviously interesting from what has gone on with him in Denver. They tried to make him the heir apparent for Peyton Manning. He left for Houston in the big money, had a bad year there, got traded to Cleveland, and essentially the Cleveland Browns are paying him about $1 million to play quarterback for the Denver Broncos this week. That's the wacky world of the NFL. But they just don't have enough offensively. And I think the Eagles are going to struggle themselves because, as I mentioned, the Broncos have the best defense in the NFL. So I think it's going to be a much more low-scoring game. But I can't see how Denver can score much on that Jim Schwartz defense, and Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are going to make life miserable for Brock Osweiler.
Well, John, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all of your NFL insights here tonight.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, our pleasure. John McMullen, the national NFL columnist. You can read him on the FanRag Sports and hear him on various radio stations in the RCN viewing area. All right, one more segment of RCN Sports Talk coming up right after this time. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. John Breidinger, Keith Groller, and myself ahead of this first weekend of high school football action on RCN. We didn't get a chance in our earlier segments to talk about the 2A. A very interesting development, Mr. Holly Jolly Christmas here and Mr. Breidinger. Caddy had two wins going into last weekend. Northwestern, not in the playoffs, but still they had a big lead late. All they had to do was run out the clock. Instead, they throw the pass. Caddy makes an interception, gets this touchdown, gets the win, gets their third win of the year, and now they're in the playoffs. John, you got to feel, I guess, good for the Rough Riders. They had four wins last year, I think, and didn't get in. Yeah. This year they have three wins, and they're going to the playoffs.
Well, you know, I got to visit with Caddy this year when we had him at Penargel, and very upbeat. Phil Dorn's a young guy, upbeat guy, had some really nice athletes, but Caddy's your smallest, one of your smallest Colonial League schools. So he has no depth at all. Everybody's playing both ways. Somebody goes down, he's in trouble. And so Caddy's had some real ups and downs, some real good skill players.
Right. But well, the quarterback was out.
And then Brett goes down, who's a good quarterback and a good athlete. So they couldn't get the ball to these skill players. So that affected them. But here they are again. You know, you can sit back and question. I know Josh Schneider at Northwestern. You know, I bet you he'd still be rating himself over that. But Palmerton, on the other hand, was a surprise to me. Quarterback change in the offseason, which, you know, some of us
know. He's been a phenomenal addition.
And he's played very well.
But I didn't realize, too, John, you talk about kids playing both ways. I got this look at the Palmerton stats. Gatiss is like one of their top tacklers as well.
Yeah,
so he runs the ball, he passes the ball, he stops people with the ball. Mm-hmm. He's a phenomenal kid.
Well, he's a very good athlete. And I watched him when they tried to start grooming him at Northern Lehigh as a freshman. So, you know, the fact that he goes to Palmerton and turns that around, you know, helps turn that around, let me say. But Palmerton, you know, is kind of, that's going to be an interesting game. I don't know enough about the other two to comment. So, you know, but I do like.
Well, Schuylkill Haven's going to be tough. I mean,
they
started slow.
Yeah.
I think they lost their first four games and then they came on strong. I think, and they have that pedigree. Mm-hmm. They've been in the state playoffs. They've had some long runs. So I think as good as Palmerton has been, and Chris Wachowiak is an outstanding. You talk about young, outstanding coaches in the Colonial League. He certainly is in that mix, but I still think probably that's I would give the edge to Haven.
Yeah.
And by the way, earlier when we talked about 6A, I didn't pin you guys down and ask you for predictions for this weekend. So you guys can go out on a limb, any limb you choose here, since Mr. Groller wanted a Christmas tree out here.
We want a few more decorations.
Are you cheerier now that we brought the Christmas
tree? I am bubbly
tree
as bubbly can be.
Oh, my goodness. What's in your water today?
I can't believe
predictions for 6A.
I can't believe you're not an Eagles fan. Go ahead.
6A, you know what?
Joe Craig is throwing things at the TV right now. After 14 years of me ripping the Eagles, you called me a fan.
I, you know what? I, among our District 11, Parkland is the team again this year. Parkland has a lot of horses. They're extremely well coached. They have the next man up at Parkland. They have the depth.
They have tremendous
the guys
depth.
Who didn't play last year when they were really good now are playing. Yeah. Because, and again, I say it a lot during the broadcast. These kids played against that first team. That got them better.
Right. Yeah.
Now they're bigger and stronger, and they want to show you.
I think, John,
they want to show
I haven't seen a lot of them. I covered them. I actually did cover them a couple times. I covered them against Whitehall. I covered them against Becca and Nazareth. I did see them as many times as anybody, three mm-hmm. times. I think they're the most complete Parkland team I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. They really have no weaknesses.
Good balance.
Very
good
balanced. Balance. They can pass the ball. Roosh is an outstanding quarterback.
Yeah. Getting better
they can
early.
Run the football. They're good receivers. Mm-hmm. And the defense is the class of the area.
And what Parkland's always done and Tim Montsman's teams have always done, you make a mistake against Parkland, you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay. And that's football at the higher level, is to make that happen. So I have to take Parkland. I mean, my kid went to Easton. Tommy Falzone's a Lafayette guy.
You were sitting on the Nazareth stands last week.
I was in the Easton section of the visiting stands last week, so let's not get carried away with that. I sat with Easton people.
You were spotted cheering the Blue Eagles last couple touchdowns.
Well, I cheer the kids because I know some of the kids, and that's fun for me. But I'll have to, Timmy Monsman's also one of my Lafayette fraternity brothers, much younger.
Yeah.
I know you're looking at me,
yeah.
He was always a favorite of mine, and I think that he has a nice staff up there, and they just have the tools. They have the wherewithal, they have the depth, and my good buddy Bob Steckel, I played with at Lafayette and against him when he played at Parkland. He still coaches junior high, so they have a feeder program that just keeps going.
20 seconds, your predictions at 6A this weekend?
Oh, it's
Parkland.
Well, I'm going with Emmaus, Parkland clearly. Emmaus, I think Stroudsburg, and what's the other matchup? And I'm going back to Easton. I can't see Nazareth winning two times in a row at Cottingham.
That's tough.
All right, that'll do it. Check out all the high school football this
check
weekend.
Check out that
on
Christmas
RCN.
Tree.
Make sure Keith is insane if you see him out and about this weekend. And we'll be back next week with another preview of next weekend's high school playoff action on RCN. For Keith and John, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.